Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. As noted by the Open Doors Initiative at their recent Leader Summit, this socially charged world is requiring companies to re-examine their CSR policy. Not only do customers demand it, but employees do too. It's evolved from corporate social responsibility to corporate social justice. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Well, today we're going to be talking about this concept of corporate social justice with not one, but two very special guests. First up, we're delighted to be joined by Jeanne McDonough, CEO of the Open Doors Initiative, who are driving this to the fore this year here in Ireland. Thanks for joining us, Jeanne. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant stuff, delighted to have you. And we're also delighted to be joined by Adele McSorley, Operations Director at Mr. Price, who have been very active in this area and even grabbed a few awards for it along the way, which we were chatting about before we jumped on. Thanks for joining us, Adele. How are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for having me.
Brilliant stuff, looking forward to chatting. And as always, we're joined by our very own Mary Cullen, Founder and Managing Director here at Insight HR. How are you, Mary?
I'm great, thanks. And brilliant to have both of you here, Jeanne and Adele.
Brilliant. So we have a full room today, and it's great to have a couple of guests on because it's a great topic that we're looking forward to chatting more about. So I'll come to yourself first, Jeanne, if that's all right. I suppose for a bit of a context setter, because it's quite a new concept to some people. So I suppose the opening question to yourself, Jeanne, corporate social justice, what's it all about?
So we're looking at major societal challenges, be it migration, be it climate change, housing, socioeconomic and political upheaval. And these all impact on consumers, on employees, friends and family, and wider society. And business has a key role to play in how beneficial change can come about and how it can improve the way we all live now and into the future. So corporate social justice is not just about giving back to society or having social license to trade. It's about transforming society and campaigning for your values. Because the urgent pursuit of economic and social justice, be it the eradication of income inequality or mass migration issues or LGBTQ rights, these areas are all the responsibility of us all. And it's evolved from corporate social responsibility to corporate social justice. And it's an important reframing because it hones on the lived experience of people who live on the margins. And it's more than just giving back to the community. It's about taking a stand and bettering the community and society in which we all live and in which organizations operate. Because companies are not just islands with the siloed existence. By very dint of operating in an area, they cause a ripple effect through the community and through wider society. So it's more than just painting walls or winning awards or making donations as in traditional CSR. It's about a company-wide, leader-led, holistic approach, committing to positive change in communities and societies in general.
Fantastic. And it's great to see that such a key area of business is growing even more into corporate social justice. I was quite active in CSR myself, and I know there's a lot of issues there that I know me and Mary are both quite aligned on, and we chat about quite a bit, so it's great to see that. It's developing, just fantastic, so thanks for that, Jeanne. I suppose, Mary, whether it's kind of prospective employees, shareholders, clients, etc., businesses are kind of expected in this day and age, aren't they, to kind of do good wherever they can. I mean, we often talk about things like employer brand, culture. This is certainly one of those things, Mary, that can kind of heavily influence the employee, I suppose, input, job satisfaction, those kind of things.
Absolutely. And I agree with you, Jeanne. It's not about philanthropy. It's very much about integrating those sustainable and ethical practices into core business. And, you know, I see very much that HR can really influence this particular area. And, you know, as often it's the heartbeat of an organization, or it's listening closely to the voice of employees, I think they're really well positioned to have an impact in this particular area. And, you know, certainly I've noticed over the years, as someone who was, you know, raised by somebody who was really, you know, very strongly passionate about social justice, and my mother worked all her life in this particular area, well ahead of her time. And for me, it's always been something that naturally should be part of the lived experience of employees. And the HR over many years, you know, may have played an active role in actually excluding certain marginalized groups, not deliberately or purposefully, but because they were the people shortlisting, interviewing, vetting people as they came into organizations. And so from a CSR perspective, I think it's very much something that we in the HR community should be thinking about. And when people are coming into organizations today, they're really looking at this whole area. You know, what is an organization actually doing about key issues that matter to me as a human being? And they're making decisions about whether or not they want to join an organization based on that. And that's very different. That's not something that, you know, was happening when I first entered the workforce. We were kind of grateful and thankful to get a job, as opposed to, will I work for this particular organization because they are doing things that matter to me?
Definitely. And it's great to see that it's developed, and great to just get a sense of that. And you're dead right, Mary. A lot of this does permeate through a lot of different aspects of this employer brand, retention, recruitment, everything. So it's great to dig into that. I suppose, Adele, over to yourself. Can you talk to us a little bit about what corporate social justice means to Mr. Price, Adele? I suppose, what are Mr. Price kind of doing differently in this whole area, and how have you grabbed some of those awards, as we were joking about before we jumped on?
All right, okay. Yeah, I suppose corporate social justice for us is treating people equal, giving everybody equal opportunities and representation across every spectre of culture and society. So it's really, you know, identifying where the needs are, identifying maybe underrepresented or marginalized groups. And where we do it a bit different there is we don't just say we're open, and we don't just write a policy or use the buzzwords. We actively go out and we work with organisations. So that's how myself and Jan got to know each other, is because we're working together and we're figuring out, like, you know, where are the gaps in the market? How can we help? So as well as organisations like Open Doors and Employers for Change, we partner with Rehab and National Learning Network. We partner with the Peter McFerry Trust. And that's what our recent award was, that we placed in excess of 30 people that had been previously homeless and came through addiction services and some with criminal pasts into jobs and that are thriving now. So, it, you know, I suppose for us, it's not just place the person in the job and walk away. It doesn't work like that. It's not a one size fits all approach. That will give a very limited result. So what we do is we tailor for each individual, and we keep in contact with the organization that person originated through. And also we have to remember that a lot of people can't get through the traditional recruitment processes. They may not have a CV, they may not have an email, there's all different, there may not be a fixed address. So by working through the organisations, we can overcome these challenges in order to get people into jobs.
Definitely. Adele, it sounds like a kind of a multi-pronged thing, isn't it? I know previously when you think about CSR, I know certain companies kind of did their charity work, their walks, all that kind of stuff. But this whole corporate social justice and inclusion thing seems fairly multi-pronged. Would I be right in saying that, Adele?
It very much is. And, like, it's great for our teams as well, because we can train our team on unconscious bias. And then they walk out of the room and they kind of forget all about it. Whereas when you're working with colleagues every day and you're identifying your own unconscious bias, And every day it happens with me and I think, oh, that's my bias. And you have to work towards it. So, but also our employees represent our customers. So it keeps us very relevant. It keeps us abreast of what's going on in society and the needs of our customers as well as our employees. So yeah, it's all very, it's definitely developing. Now we do the fundraising side of it as well. And that's great fun, but it's not just, you know, handing over a check and walking away.
100%. It's great to, have that, I suppose, wide approach here, because as you said, a lot of wide-ranging benefits to it as well. So I suppose, Jan, just coming back to the whole corporate social justice core, really, and why it's jumping to the fore now and why now for the great work you've been doing on it. I suppose, what's the kind of reasoning, goal, purpose behind this concept of corporate social justice, Jan? What does success look like? What's the kind of the dream here?
Well, there's two things in that. Firstly, business is changing. So you now have conscious capitalism, B Corp, CSRD, all which are leading to very purpose-led companies. And people expect, employees expect their CEOs to lead on social issues. And business has the capacity to drive change and to drive impact where sometimes society lags. For example, we've seen failures in leadership in the political, in the religious, in the financial. So there's a lacuna that business can fill. And companies are slowly coming around to that, some far better than others, like Mr. Price, like other sort of major institutions who are seeing the benefits of it. And, you know, that can be, firstly, that consumers pay very close attention to the social impact of a company and will purchase on that basis, you know, that it aligns with their values. But also, as Adele mentioned, employees are seeking a company that, excuse me, mirrors their values and mirrors the impact they want to make. And as Mary mentioned, they're looking for that when they're looking for work. So that's the benefits to the company. Success, well, you've got to ask yourself, what legacy do you want your company to leave? What does your time as CEO want to be remembered by? What do your employees say about your company outside of the working hours? You know, and it's also not just a trinket to be taken down in the good times and then put back on the shelf when times are hard, or even worse, to pull up the ladder for economic short-term reasons like budget cuts and so on. That's when good companies really double down and embed the work, because that's when there's the most need. And I think that's really important to reiterate. You know, it can't just be as something you pick up and put down. It has to be a deeply embedded, holistic view that is company-wide and leadership-led. And it also means getting informed on issues. So a good example is migration. You need to understand Ireland's history of migration. You need to understand why there's a housing issue. You need to understand racism and why there's a rise of the far right. So you need to get informed on the societal issues and then make an informed impact on them with the lived experience of your employees, your friends, people in wider society and so on. So there's a learning that needs to be done. And the other thing is about being brave in embracing this. It's every aspect of your business. It doesn't just sit with DEI or HR or marketing. It's the whole business. And it's in every piece of work you do. So, for example, real allyship isn't comfortable because the people you are allies to are not comfortable. And that's something to consider when you're doing this type of work. You know, what are other people finding and feeling and working through? And how best can you help them? I hope that explains it.
Definitely, yeah, and there's a lot to it. So it's great to get into that level of detail, and it's quite practical as well. And I suppose it raises another question then for yourself, Mary. I know we talk a lot about this on the podcast, the kind of business case for this kind of stuff, Mary. And I think, I suppose, from the conversation so far, there's a lot of key bits around the business case there, isn't there? Kind of wide-ranging benefits, the employee input. But I suppose there's still that challenge of trying to get it set at the top table and getting that buy-in from it. Can you just tell any kind of thoughts around that, Mary? I suppose it's probably a question that, I mean, we could ask about anything, but just in the sphere of corporate social justice, any kind of tips on crafting that business case, getting it in front of the top table and making sure it, I suppose, is embedded and grows as it should?
Yeah, as I said earlier about HR being very much the heartbeat of the organization, and if HR practitioners are doing their job well, they will have influence at the leadership level, at the senior level, at the board level, and can certainly influence the leadership team around corporate social justice and the logic behind why we should get behind this and what might it mean. And I absolutely agree with you, Jan. You know, it's not just marketing and PR or a single section of the business. It's really about why are we doing this and what's the purpose of it. If we're only doing it because we're trying to compete in a marketplace for talent, then exactly what you're saying, Jan, when that cycle turns or if we move into recession and then we drop the budget and we drop, and so often these things do happen, it's just the reality of business and bottom line. But where it's done well, and where we believe in it as an organization, like Mr. Price, and can see the benefit, and we've looked at the metrics and we can see and measure why this is effective, I think it can become very much ingrained within an organization. And, you know, there's some frightening things happening in Ireland today, things that I never thought would happen in Ireland, given the nature of our history, and some real challenges for the young people who are entering the workforce around housing and accommodation and ability to purchase homes and all of those things that organisations do really need to think about and consider when we're looking at CSR, and also the influx of people from different cultures and different environments. It's so important that we really think things through very carefully. And from my perspective, I've watched this with interest over time. At first I was wondering, I started hearing people talking about CSR, and I was like, oh, is that PR and marketing? Which it kind of lived in for a while, didn't it? But over time, I think as people understand more, we see how it can work right across an organization, across many things. And when we do it right, we can see the passion with which our employees engage with our initiatives and become involved and want to become involved and want to work for organization with purpose, with values, who care about our society and the way in which the world is developing. So I'm a real believer in it, and I think HR can craft a business case for definitely. It. We need to think about it carefully because, you know, budgets are tight always. Go to any CEO with a great idea and an initiative, it needs to be well thought through. And that's why organizations out there like Jan can help. But Jan, you may have ideas around that.
Well, it's not about short-term budgetary thinking. It's about mid to long-term thinking, because implementing that sort of change now, I mean, countless studies have shown it reaps benefits. It benefits the company. It benefits the bottom line. It benefits employee retention. It attracts new employees. It helps with reputationally with the company. it opens doors, not to be corny, to other relationships and other developments and so on. So I think it's when you're crafting a business case, you have to take it on a long-term basis and point to the long-term benefits that are there for companies who embrace this. And also, it's not all measurable. Like, some of them are non-tangible benefits, sort of like societal goods, societal impact. And one company we work with, Diageo, we looked back over the 250 years they've been in existence and some of the things they've done. And it's just phenomenal. They were building houses not only for their own workers, but also for people in the area, as in the Ivy Trust. They opened the first medical center for employees and local community. They've created entrepreneurship development through the Guinness Enterprise Center, and so on and so forth. They have really lived their purpose in a myriad of ways. And I know that sort of approach isn't common anymore or fashionable, except in some places. But I think it's something that's worth looking at again, because if your company can last 250 years, someone's doing something right.
Definitely. It's a quote to take out of this anytime. Definitely. There's no dispute on that at all. And it's great to actually get those examples there, because it's something, actually, now you mentioned it, it seems so obvious to the Enterprise Center, everything. So it's fantastic. And fair play to Diageo for doing that. Adele, on that kind of results piece, so I know, as we said, Mr. Price has been doing great work in a lot of different areas with this, Adele. What have the results or kind of feedback been like for Mr. Price, Adele? I suppose beyond the direct recruitment piece, I'm sure there's also performance, culture, and also those non-tangible bits, as Jan said.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I would say on is that you don't build a business, you build a culture, and the culture builds the business. So that's the first thing, you know, that really jumps out. You know, it's the one thing we didn't expect, but we gain this incredible culture, and a culture where people look out for each other. They understand each other, whether it's having a deaf colleague and learning sign language, or, you know, somebody that doesn't speak English and you take on to teach them one word every day, and suddenly they're writing you a letter within a couple of months, or they're, you know, that you're seeing this real care and passion that comes through the colleagues. But the one thing in terms of measurement that I have measured this, and the retention levels are much greater. They're much greater in terms of the programs that we run. The retention versus mainstream recruitment. So we are definitely retaining, but we're also creating so much diversity that there's more culture within the organization. There's more interest. There's more interest for the employees to, sorry, I'm answering this very badly. The retention levels are much greater. The staff satisfaction is much greater. And generally speaking, we're at full employment.
Brilliant. It's fantastic. And I suppose when it comes to
known in the retail.
Definitely. When it comes to, I suppose, the kind of implementation piece as well, Adele, and those kind of non-tangibles and I suppose the retention piece, is there kind of a grassroots element to this that has kept it quite strong and quite embedded in Mr. Price?
Yeah, what keeps it very embedded is we do it from top down, bottom up. And what I mean by that is it's very much driven by the senior leaders in the organization, and we are working on a daily hands-on approach. But we're working on it with the employees. So we're speaking to them about it. They're very much involved in it. I was speaking to one of our store managers earlier about one of our guys who came through the program. Now, he's really thriving, but he's just hit a little bit of a speed bump. And like the manager's response to me today was, I'm absolutely mad about him and I will do anything for him. So it's just, you know, and I'm advising him and, you know, just sit down and have a chat with them and figure out where the challenges are. So it's really, you know, not just as a management team trying to say, this is what we're going to do. And this is what you do. It's talking to the employee and saying to the employee, what do we need to do? That you're an expert, we're an expert, and let's come together. Because as I said, one size doesn't fit all. The same approach can't go for every single person in the business. So I think that, you know, top-down, bottom-up approach is required, and we meet in the middle.
100%, and it sounds like it's reaping benefits. So it's fantastic to hear that, Adele. Yeah. Thanks for that. I suppose then, kind of final question on that hands-on kind of revision, and I'll ask Jana and Mary for this, but I'll come to yourself first, Jana, if that's all right. So when it comes to that hands-on implementation approach, Jana, it sounds like there's a lot that can be done, I suppose. There's a lot of opportunities, there's a lot of crossover here. There's a lot of people that can get involved in this. What I'd be right in saying, I know we've mentioned this already, but I suppose digging a little bit deeper, this is a multi-function, multi-people, multi-leadership kind of thing to implement, isn't it?
Absolutely. And as I said, it's a long-term commitment. It's a holistic equipment. I'm making up words. initiative. And it is, to echo what Adele said, from the front door to the top floor, it's everyone involved in the business of a company, your supply chain, your consumers, your customers, their families. You know, people with disabilities worldwide have an 11 trillion spending power when you take their families into consideration. And, you know, their needs are just not met. They have dreadful experiences trying to buy. So even just taking that one section into account, you know, of the population and the things we could do to help them, if we think about it properly and with knowledge and with in-depth understanding, I mean, that alone is a huge business case. So, and that's not just consumers, but employees as well. And all boats rise. You know, if you look at something like reasonable accommodation, that benefits everyone. Ramps benefit everyone. Loudspeaker announcements benefit everyone. Captioning benefits everyone. We're all going to have a form of a disability at some stage in our life, be it loss of vision, loss of hearing, or hopefully not, but an acquired disability that's a little, goes a little further. So, you know, we need to accommodate people and see it as a benefit for the whole of society and not just sectioned off for one group. And at the Open Doors Initiative, we want corporate social justice to be embedded as practice in all the companies we deal with. And we want leadership in this area in Ireland and beyond to do that embedding as well. So, I'm very passionate about it. So I really hope it takes off as a concept.
Definitely, no, and it's great to be chatting about it. Hopefully we can kind of spread the word just a little bit more today with this podcast and chatting about it. I suppose, Mary, then kind of final word to yourself, just similar question that I asked Jan. I suppose when it comes to the implementation piece, Mary, as we kind of noted earlier, HR can have a really hands-on input here, can't they? Again, as we say a lot, it's not a sole HR issue, this and many other things, but there is kind of a driving seat. There's kind of a good position for HR to really get hands-on with this kind of stuff, Mary, isn't there?
Yeah, and you look, some things in HR are maybe simpler than others, or they're starting points. So for many of our listeners out there, you know, we know that they come from organizations of all sizes, from your smaller organizations right the way through to your corporates. But there are things you can do, even if you can't get budget immediately, you can start the process. And, you know, don't forget your employee resource groups or your ERGs, as we say in the business. But, you know, those groups are very powerful, and you can very much look at a ground level approach to this as well. You know, I've seen some incredible things coming out from the employee resource groups, whether they're women in business groups or whatever they might be, that those groups can be harnessed as well to bring about change in this area. But when it comes to the implementation piece, obviously it's not HR alone. Anything that's a HR alone you know, process or practice, or you're banging your head off a door trying to get something done, is never going to work. It's really about your ability to influence others, to educate yourself, become aware yourself of what matters out there, not just to your own demographic or the people that you have within your organization, but what matters in society? What are these issues out there? Where do we get our information? Going to the Open Doors Initiative and looking at their research is a really good starting point. And understanding what it is you could do from a corporate social justice perspective is important. And then using all your skills and people skills to influence up, down, sideways, wherever you need to go. That's a good starting point, and that doesn't involve budget. The budget bit comes later. It's about getting your supporters within the leadership team and influencing first, and budget comes later. You know, marketing love this stuff. Marketing love it.
We do.
So it's a good spot. It's also good to align yourself with the right people in the organization. Get your executive sponsors and all of that, and get your grassroots going, because that's how you create momentum within an organization.
Definitely. And look, lots to think about, but thankfully lots we can do about it as well, and lots that we can do to get this off the ground. So thank you, Adele, Jan, and Mary, for a very practical discussion. I would urge our listeners to, as Mary says there, check out some of the research Open Doors Initiative has done on this. Keep a close eye on what Mr. Price are doing, and obviously reach out to us too if you need any help with it. But thank you to all of you for a very, I suppose, practical, useful discussion. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe and join the discussion on our social media channels. We'd love to hear what you think about this topic, actually. So do feel free to jump into the comments there when you see it land on social media. If you are enjoying these episodes, do please feel free to share them with colleagues, friends, and family. And even better, if you can leave us a review on whatever platform you're on, we'd really appreciate it. I've seen a few coming in, so a few more would be great. Thank you very much. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insidehr.ie. Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Adele. And thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.